hot coffee.
Coffee.
You shouldn't have to say like ice. You should say iced coffee. But if you say coffee, that's just
that means coffee. That's yeah. what I thought too.
Nothing more. Yeah. I feel so. I feel you there.
What are you gonna do?
I had my parents in town this past weekend, so good time seeing them, hanging out with the parentals.
That's awesome.
Take them around Chico, give them a little show of the town.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
Nice.
So
very
I had a good time.
You want to do our read?
Yeah, I was going to say, we do have people that we have to thank.
Absolutely.
Obviously, Say Hey is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by, of course, Buffalo Wild Wings, featuring 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs with nonstop sports, wings, and more. 801 East Avenue, open every day from 11 a.m. till midnight and beyond. More information at BuffaloWildWings.com. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports.
Speaking of sports, we have a lot of sports to get to. The Euro Cup final happened yesterday. Draymond Green got arrested late last night after having a week to kind of digest this Kevin Durant trade. We'll get into that. D-Wade's on a new team, but we'll start with Tim Duncan retires.
The big fundamental.
The big fundamental yeah. retires. And I guess, I don't know, Derek, you want to start off? I guess, what are your thoughts regarding his retirement here?
I'm not going to. I like how people retire this way. I don't like the whole retirement tour.
Yep.
Goodbye to everyone.
Agreed.
I think he did it the most classy way you possibly could, because that just speaks to him as a person, too. A guy that never had the focus on him. He was always about the team, Spurs first and foremost. And it just goes to show in the way that he exited this thing. He didn't make a farewell tour that's all about him, even though he rightly could have. I mean, he greatest power forward we've seen. I'm willing to say one of the best. And by this farewell tour, you're not going to think of him that way. But I hold him in high regards by the way he handled himself.
Yeah, that's totally Timmy's personality. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, it's never really been about him. It's always been about team first, even going back to his days at Wake Forest. The only thing that I would say it would be good of an athlete to give the team a heads up is if there was some kind of like contract situation.
Yeah.
Where if you like let them know, give them kind of a heads up as where they're going to go in the future with free mm-hmm. agency and stuff like that. But honestly, I agree with you. I mean, especially with Kobe last year and the whole circus that became.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It was kind of ridiculous. Even David Ortiz has recently come out and said he regrets talking about it
sure.
or making that announcement, because it's like every day, every ballpark he's in, there's people wanting to get autographs and this
yeah.
and that. And there's just so many things that have come along with it that he's like kind of had trouble concentrating. You wouldn't see that in his stat line.
Definitely not with the way he's hitting the ball. Yeah.
One of the most phenomenal seasons ever, especially for a guy 40 plus years of age. As a Red Sox fan, I'm kind of disappointed that he's.
I was going to say, you probably want to see him back right now.
I would love to see him. I want to see him go until he can't perform anymore, you know, but some guys, you know, they don't want to do that to the team. And so, you know, he's going to go out on top. Hopefully, you know, they can make a run. I'd love to see him in another postseason hitting those bombs late in.
Right.
You know? Be great.
Yeah, Tim Duncan, 15-time All NBA defensive team, tied for most there. 2 times NBA or league MVP, 3 times Finals MVP, and the stat that just floored me: 157 playoff wins, better than 24 NBA teams.
Wow,
so, that's pretty awesome, right there.
Never played a season where he had less than 50 wins, and
I mean that's a great stat line right there. The fact that they were 600 above for those every single year he was there. That's ridiculous. That's just Popovich at his finest, I feel. Obviously, he went to a great organization. That also has a lot to do with his greatness.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be great without people around you. And Popovich definitely harnessed what he had and really unleashed him and took a team that, oh my, how dominating were they?
Sure.
I mean they were decades. Kind of on the precipice, though, like in the 90s with David Robinson. They had some good teams, but they were always kind of getting knocked out in the semis or the conference finals. And the acquisition, you know, the 1 year Robinson got hurt, and then they finished, you know, they had 20 wins or whatever, wound up getting that number one pick. And then so that just that
right when
just
he put, got hurt.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I mean, because it's one of those things where like they knew they weren't going to get far.
Right.
So he probably could have rushed back from injury, but they decided to keep him out all year. They wound up getting the number one draft pick, and who was clearly that year going to be Tim Duncan. It was one of those years like 0-3 with LeBron.
Yep.
98. It was clearly going to be Tim Duncan.
Right.
And so therefore, you know, it started this incredible run that they have. But I mean, not taking anything away from David Robinson, because, you know, the Admiral was a fantastic player.
No doubt, yeah.
But, I mean, what Tim Duncan has done, I mean, especially considering after David Robinson retired 4 or 5 years later or whatever, got his 2 championship. But like you just said, them finishing with 50-plus wins in every single one of those seasons. And the one constant besides Greg Popovich, was Tim Duncan.
And obviously having David Robinson there at the beginning of his career, I think is really important for him. Like, it gives him another person that he's not the focal point. Right. He can learn from another great big man who the Admiral really was. I mean, he's an athletic freak for being the size that he was.
Totally.
And that's a great way to kind of mold him into the player that he was. And I also want to point out, like, he's like the last star that we have that actually did 4 years of college.
Right.
Which I think is a stat for me that I really hold in high regard to him, because I think I'm on the assumption that every player should go get their degree, finish it out. That's something, you're getting a free education for the most part. Take advantage of that. I know the lure of the money is a lot and it's hard to resist that. But I mean, props to Tim Duncan for holding that promise to his mom who was dying, and he said he'd finish off college and he did that for her. So
yeah, a lot of you hear about a lot of NBA players going back and finishing their degree. Famously, Vince Carter flew to his graduation the day of a game 7. But a lot of players go back, but you're right. In this day and age, number one overall picks don't do 4 years in college anymore. So
if you look at the 4 year college people, there are not very many of them that are stars that are even that considered high regarded.
Well,
at this
what's
point.
The incentive to stay in school for 4 years? If your aspirations are to be an NBA player, why would you stay in school longer?
Well, the Gordon Haywards of the world are, you know, that's not the norm.
No, right. Definitely not.
I mean, he only got discovered because that great Butler run,
right?
You know, where he almost hit the half court shot against Duke to win it all, which would have been the greatest single night in college.
Oh yeah, ever.
Imagine there would have been parties all across the country because everybody hates Duke.
I was ready to go crazy for that game because that Butler team that they had going on was awesome. A great run they had, and Sheldon Mack on there, and
I think if they don't, you know, if they don't make that run, I don't know if he might have gotten drafted. Who knows? I'm not a scout, but I mean. But that is the exception. Usually they know these guys from high school. I mean, Kevin Durant, the only reason he even went to Texas for a year is because that's what the rule was.
Yeah.
So that brings up another discussion. I don't know if we have time to get into it too
much. We have an hour.
We have an hour. But, I mean, that brings up a good point about finishing your degree. Because, I mean, I can't blame these kids for wanting to go get paid.
Right.
A lot of them come from really underprivileged backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And they've got, you know, issues that they've got to take care of, familial speaking. But I do agree that I would hope that they'd all at least go back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To pressure a kid to go 4 years when he's like guaranteed all this money. Because the one thing is, you can only take an insurance policy out for so much money.
Right.
And if you got $50 million sitting there, you know, somebody's waiting to give you a contract and all you can take out on your legs or whatever is like $2 million.
Right.
Like, I can't really blame these kids for going and getting that guaranteed money.
No doubt. I mean, I also think that's something that the NCAA really needs to look at as well in the terms of how they treat these athletes, these student athletes, because I mean, a lot of them have barely enough money to keep food on their plates and stuff. And because their entire time is dedicated to going to performing for the school, and then they have a little bit of time to actually do schoolwork. There's no chance for them to have a job to actually get money. So I totally get the idea.
Well, not only that, if you're a scholarship student, you're not allowed to get a part-time job.
There you go.
So, you're not even allowed to go pursue money. You can't make money off your own name, as far as you can't sign jerseys or sign stuff and sell it, which is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
That's another topic
we
as
should
well,
definitely,
yeah.
I mean, dog days of summer are really upon us in the next few weeks, so we could definitely turn this topic into an entire show, but I do think it's important to kind of touch on a few of these things because these things do relate to Tim Duncan when he came out versus these NBA players nowadays. There's just almost no incentive for these NBA players to stay. One, they could be missing out on cash, and two, the more we know about you in this day and age, the more we criticize you. Look at Kyrie Irving.
True.
He played 8 games for Duke and was the number one overall pick. And that's, I mean,
potential's a lot easier to sell as well. Like we said,
absolutely.
Mentioned that before. Yeah.
The more we see, the more we can break down the tape. We can see, oh, he doesn't shoot well from the left corner, you know, various things like that. But if we don't have much tape on you, you know, we're just going to hope traffic. And
I mean, Kyrie did a nice, he paid dividends for that.
Absolutely.
Obviously, he's done great, but I think that's kind of not going to happen very often.
And, what was his name? Cardale Jones from Ohio State.
Yeah.
He basically played in the semifinals and the finals, and I think the Big Ten Championship. He had 3 games, and they were talking about him as a number one draft choice for quarterback.
Right.
And it's like, it's to your point, though. It's like he won the 3 biggest games of the year, and so everybody was like, oh, he's ready for the NFL. Because there wasn't very much tape on him, he probably would have gotten drafted.
Yeah.
He might have actually hurt himself
as far coming as getting, back.
By coming back.
Yeah.
Because I mean, now people realize, well, wait a second, there's a bunch of chinks in these armor.
Yeah.
So you bring up a great point. Yeah, it's because now all we do is just break things down. It's 24 hours a day, and somebody's going to sit there and say, well, he can't do this, he can't do that.
Right.
That's why I think a lot of these European players, like, they get no love. You know, it's kind of like a paradoxical because we don't have tape on these guys.
Sure.
You know, when you have Kristaps Porzingis get drafted 4, all the Knicks fans were booing him like he was a piece of garbage.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they didn't know anything about him.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Which has another discussion too. You're like the guy's biggest day of his entire life. He's getting a new job right now, and here you are just booing him.
Booing
him. Yeah, I just like.
I mean, are you a fan of the team? Are you going to back up what they're doing? It's like, yeah. Listen, well, this is going to be your guy. You like it or not.
And
it's
be
like
happy for the dude. I mean, this guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, this is like his biggest, like you said, his biggest day of his life. His dream has come true. He's getting drafted in the first round of the NBA, and you're booing him. You're just starting him off with this. Like, if I was that guy, I would be thinking in the back of my mind every time I laced up my shoes, you know, just hating on all those people.
Right.
Like, they're supposedly my fans. And they're probably the ones, and he didn't know them by their faces.
Nope.
So he's got to be thinking every time he's in an autograph line, and there's somebody just begging for his autograph.
Were they one of them?
You know what I mean? That'd be in the back of my mind anyway.
Well, people who go to the draft in general are a bunch of nerds.
I agree.
Burr said it best. He said, if you attend a draft, it's like going to graduation when you don't know anyone graduated. It's perfect.
Yes.
It is such a weird thing to do. The spectacle of it all is all so bizarre to me. But anyway, we'll save that for another day as well, because I definitely want to spend a little bit of time talking about I guess the second most surprising, in my opinion, maybe the most surprising move last week that happened in NBA free agency before we move on, and that was Dwayne Wade going, you know, quote unquote, home to Chicago to play for the Bulls. This came after a very public fallout with the Miami Heat. Apparently, according to reports, Patrick Riley didn't even reach out to Dwayne Wade directly. There's conflicting reasons as to why. Apparently, D. Wade said, go through my agents. From Riley's camp, from Wade's camp, he's saying other. But I just wanted to get just your initial take when you heard the news. Noobs, let's start with you.
I mean, all I've heard for the last couple of years is how much Dwayne Wade has sacrificed for the Miami
Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay, you took a couple million dollars less each year. You know what I mean? Like, it's not hurting your bottom line. He's got Gatorade endorsements, Nike, everything else. I mean, you know, T-Mobile, whatever it is. Like, that guy's not hurting for cash. So when you take a couple million less, and it was only a couple million less per year, to get LeBron James on your team, and God, brain fart, the center.
Oh, Chris Bosh.
Chris Bosh.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so bring in that big three, quote-unquote, into the fold, those other two guys. Like, you sacrificed, but you also won two championships and went to four straight. So, like, isn't that really what it's about? So, like the whole narrative that I've heard is, oh, poor Dwayne Wade. He's taken so, you know, he's been he's sacrificed so much. And, I mean, I got to side with Pat Riley on this one. I don't know exactly how the communication went down, but it's like they've been good to him. He's been their star player for 10-plus years now.
Yeah.
And I just figure, like, why not retire in a place where you're going to be beloved for the rest of your career? You're going to kind of jeopardize your legacy a little bit. I don't know how much. I don't know how faithful Miami fans are in the first place, because every time I flip on a game in the first quarter, the place is half full.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like they're finishing up their drinks on South Beach before they bother to come in.
Yeah,
the waves are a lot nicer to look at,
I feel. And don't give me some excuse. Like, it's not like Chavez Ravine in L.A. where it's hard to get into a Dodgers game. I get that.
Sure.
I've driven in that place. It's a nightmare. But I'm American Airlines Arena. I went to a fish show there a couple years ago. It's right in the middle of the city.
It's
easy to get to.
Yeah.
So I don't want to. Anyway, I can go off on Miami fans for an hour. But I just, you know, I mean, if he wants to go back to Chicago and be close, you know, to like to some friends and family, then good for him, you know, like with Derrick Rose not there anymore. Jimmy Butler's still there. You know, I think they lost Noah to New York as well. Didn't
they? That's they got Rondo as well, though.
They got Rondo, which I think is a great signing.
Sure.
You know, good for him. You know, he's won 3 championships now. So if he wants to go home and get paid and be close to friends and family, then good for him.
Sure. Derek?
I mean, I was definitely I guess, come out on the road of Riley as well. And I like you called him Patrick Riley, too. I thought that was very formal. I was like, wait, who's Pat? Oh, Pat Riley. Okay, that's his real name is Patrick. Yes. I was like, okay. I just thought, because he was looking for the Kobe Bryant deal, really. And I think a lot of teams are just don't want to do that for anybody, especially at the tail end of their career, like Dwayne Wade with
his
knees.
Injury prone, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's got his knee issues that are not going away. And I think it's just not a smart move if you know, want to continue a franchise competitive and you want to lock yourself down and with that type of money for that player who's on the back end of he's already plateaued and he's on his way down.
For sure.
And I was kind of upset with the Kobe Bryant deal. I don't care if Laker fans say we're just paying him for all he's done for us. I was like, yeah, he did a lot, but he also got paid during that time too. It's not like he was working pro bono for us. No, he had same thing.
This isn't DiCaprio with the Revenant or whatever.
Yeah.
This isn't some lifetime achievement thing.
Right, yeah. Right. You don't. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Getting back pay for services rendered seems a little counterintuitive.
It does.
In a salary capped league, it makes more sense in baseball, where the number doesn't necessarily hurt your ability to go and acquire other talent. But I mean, you're a Lakers fan. You saw that what happened with Kobe, this hamstrung the team for the last few years now, where they couldn't move forward. They couldn't acquire free agents because no one wanted to come and play with Kobe, who's still a ball dominant player at the end of his career. He's going to be getting all the shine. He didn't want to move over. He made it well known when they brought in Roy Hibbert and all those guys, Bass and a couple others. I'm drawing a blank, but during the press conference, they asked, have any of you talked to Kobe? And they all looked at each other like, nah. It was really awkward.
Yeah, I remember that.
But it's exactly what you expected. Kobe's never been this warm embrace guy, rally the troops kind of guy, you know. But anyway, that point aside, you saw what it did to LA. And I think from Miami's perspective, the PR hit is worth not having to deal with an aging star.
Yeah.
And, you know, Phil Jackson said the hardest player to coach is the aging star in this league. And it makes sense. It's, you know, there's egos involved. There's a lot at play. And basically what we're looking at is possibly the best draft class next year in 2017 that we've seen since the LeBron, D. Wade, Carmelo Anthony draft class. So, look, with the team currently constructed, with them missing out on KD, Miami had no chance of winning a championship this year. Probably no chance of winning a championship next year. Chris Bosh's complete career is in limbo right now. We don't know if he'll ever play again.
Yeah.
And that's a really dicey situation. So from the Heat's perspective, I honestly think at the end of the day, they made him a great offer, $40 million. D-Wade obviously didn't leave. He left based on principle, not money, because I think he's only making $7 million more.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it 2 years, 47 for...
Yeah, I think so he's making $7 million more, which to D-Wade, that's really not a lot of money. I mean, I guess it's hard for me to tell what a lot of money is to someone else. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, he's made over $100 million in his career already. It's not a huge number we're looking at. On the flip side of this, when you look at the Bulls, I don't know what they're doing, man. They got three dudes on a team that can't shoot. They got Jimmy, their three best players, Jimmy Butler, D. Wade, and Rondo, all can't shoot the rock. So what's the plan exactly? Because we've seen recently with the Golden State Warriors, you even see, look at what Cleveland did this year. They brought in shooters so they can space the floor. This modern day NBA is all about pace and space. And they're working so counterproductive to pace and space. I don't know what this is going to look like. Now, of course, they do have a couple guys off the bench who can shoot the rock, and I'll stop calling it the rock because that's a pretty douchey statement. But I just don't know.
My high school coach called it a pumpkin.
The pumpkin.
I never liked that one.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Yeah, that doesn't roll off the tongue like rock. Yeah.
Yeah, my buddy's dad, whenever you would swat someone's shot, would say, "Eat the Voight." I'm like, man, that is... I haven't even seen a Voight basketball since 91.
I feel like I'm thinking of Voight.
Even in business.
I'm thinking of volleyballs at that point in time, right?
Yeah,
I'm thinking
of Voight. I love out-of-date statements. But yeah, just from the Bulls' perspective, I don't know what they're doing with this team. I understand getting rid of Derrick Rose was a great move, and I thought bringing in, from the fans' perspective, bringing in another hometown guy to kind of ease, you know, soften that blow of losing Derrick Rose was a smart move PR-wise. As far as a team, I don't know that this is a playoff team next year.
Yeah, I think the lineup makes more sense if Tom Thibodeau was still the coach.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Defensive first.
Exactly.
You know, but I don't know. I mean, I think that the East is just going to leave. Well, I mean, now that Miami's down, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, Boston got a lot better with Al Horford.
They did. Yeah, that was a great sure pickup by them.
Huge
yeah.
pickup. I think it's them and Cleveland at 1-2.
Agreed.
With Toronto, probably will be good again. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I agree with you. I'm not sure what Chicago's doing with this. It almost seems like they're just doing it like to sell tickets. Like, they're not actually expecting to win, but with Dwayne Wade in the fold, it's like, you know what I mean?
We're and to their credit, like, who, I mean, they lost Pau Gasol. That was, you know, a loss that was coming, it seemed like. Yeah. It just seemed like, it didn't seem like they had really much route to go at that point. When you didn't get KD, you lost Derrick Rose, you got Jimmy Butler, you picked up Rajon Rondo, which is a nice pickup. He is a great distributing guard.
Yes.
But, again, I feel like they just wanted something, like I said, make a splash. Something that, like, we didn't not do anything. At least we did something. Like, we tried. We're trying to do something to get better. And, I mean, granted, it may not just because the better teams got better and the other okay teams just kind of simmer down a little bit.
They had to do something.
Yeah.
But it's basically just so that they can plaster an 80-foot poster of him outside the stadium.
Right.
That's really all it is. I mean, he's, like Derek said, he's on the downslope of his career.
And D. Wade's coming off... I believe he played 70 games last year. And again, I don't have any of these stats in front of me to verify any of it. But I think
he played the most he's played in like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. And if I was a betting man, which I am, I would bet the under on is he going to play 60 games next season. So, you know, I don't hate the move from a PR standpoint. I actually love it from a PR standpoint. But it's just... It's an odd fit when you look at how the team's actually constructed. They're just going to struggle to score, I believe. And it's going to be – the lane's going to be really clogged up. They're going to have to use some interesting lineups to create some space. But let's get off basketball for a little bit. I know we're going to get into this whole Draymond Green getting arrested issue in a little bit.
Was it for kicking Steve Adams in the nuts?
No, he actually slapped the fan, which I am a huge fan of. But we'll get more into that in a little bit. So UFC 200 happened over the weekend. I watched none of it because...
I mean, we got called. I was working at Bella's during the day, and we got called left and right. Are you showing the game? Are you showing the fight? I'm sorry, not the game, the fight. And I was like, people are really still wanting to watch this after what happened with Jon Jones. Obviously, got himself caught in a doping scandal again and was removed from the card a few days before the match was about to happen. They flew in Anderson Silva on a last minute. Please help us.
Yeah.
Someone, God save the soul right now.
Right.
And, I mean, the ratings came... They haven't gotten the pay-per-view ratings yet, but they are expecting it to be the highest they've ever had. They had the highest number of ticket sales for themselves in Las Vegas, and they also had the highest audience in Las Vegas for UFC. It's like 18,000 people saw the game, saw the fight, and it roughly brought in $10.7 million. One of the things... I'm not a huge UFC fan, mainly because of Dana White, and what I feel is his... really unfair treatment of his fighters.
I agree.
If you look at the payouts for it, the main card bout was Miesha Tate and the other girl. I'm sorry, I can't remember her name.
I don't even remember her name either because I didn't watch it.
So that was, again, like I said, I wasn't super intrigued myself, but the big star was Brock Lesnar. And he walked out with $2.5 million in that fight alone, which is the highest anyone's ever made in a UFC fight.
That guy's still fighting in the UFC?
He's still
Thank
fighting.
Thank you.
Right?
It's the freak show event, right? You want to watch Brock Lesnar because he doesn't look like a real human being.
Right.
You know, and you just want to see that. I mean...
Yeah, he looks like one of those Masters of the Universe figures.
Exactly.
You know?
But he fights,
like
the, which is crazy.
I mean, if you saw him in his weigh-in, he actually looked like he was in great shape. He really did. And he won his bout with Marcus Hunt. Yeah. And Marcus
Be careful
Hunt,
with that name, huh?
Yes, right. I saw your name on there. It rolls off the tongue very easily in other ways.
Yeah, so make sure you take a breather in between. But yeah,
Marcus Hunt only made $700,000 on that bout, and he was the next highest paid person on that roster. So from $2.5 million for Brock Lesnar to $700,000 for Hunt, Cormier, the guy who was set to, he's holding the title right now, was going to fight John Jones, was set to make $1 million for that fight. But when John Jones backed out of it, he made only $600,000. So he lost $400,000 because some guy cheated.
Huh.
And I saw those discrepancies in numbers, and not to mention the girl fights. Miesha Tate only made $400,000 again for a title fight that she was a part in. And I really just made me dislike Dana White even more. Because if this is supposed to be, you know, what your thing is, your highest pay-per-view event, and you're paying these guys I mean, granted, $400,000 is a nice payday for one night. But these are guys that dedicate their entire lives to this event, and they're only walking out with that amount of money. When the UFC, I'm not, again, we're not really sure how much is coming from the pay-per-view. They haven't released those numbers yet. But it's ridiculous amounts of money the UFC is making on these guys. And it just seems like Dana White is only concerned about greasing his pockets.
I don't want to get too political on this, but there is, it kind of sort of stinks of, there's a sort of a plantation kind of aspect to UFC.
Yep, I agree.
And what I mean by that is, like, these guys are so homogenized. Like, you know a couple of the dudes' names, but I really feel like the powers that be feel like no matter what happens, they can always bring in somebody else. You know what I mean? Where, like, boxing kind of, like, falters a little bit if you don't have these big-name guys. Who, by the way, most of them, some of the guys that are smart, like Floyd Mayweather, takes control over his own contract.
Right.
Well, yes.
And can get paid. Where these guys, I'm not calling them necessarily slaves. I think that would be disrespectful to actual victims of real slavery.
Sure.
But I think that there is sort of that, like, mentality amongst the Dana Whites and maybe those two brothers who just sold it. Maybe they feel like, you know what, we can just get anybody in here, throw them in a cage, and 20 million people are going to pay $60 each to watch it. And there's sort of a homogenization too. I feel like everybody, like, one guy wears red trunks, the other guy wears blue.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They don't have their own advertising. It's all like, it just says UFC, and then it's got like the UFC okayed sponsors.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, these guys have zero control over their own marketing, it feels like. You know what I mean? Yeah, I guess you got Conor McGregor on the EA Sports game or whatever, but I just feel like, I don't know, like, there's not a lot of control over their own careers, and I feel like that they can just be discarded at any second if something happens to them. Whereas, like, you're always going to watch it. It doesn't even really matter who the names are. You know, these guys can come in with records of, like, 18-6.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, 18-6? He's lost six times. How is he still in the fold? But that's just kind of how it is. I don't mean to be the get off my lawn guy, which also could be a name for the show.
Get off my
lawn. I like that a lot.
But I'm just like, I come from the era of, like, you know, my stepfather, he always, you know, ordered the boxing matches, and I kind of felt, you know, and so it's been a little hard for me. And, it's hard for me to ever agree with anything that Senator John McCain has ever said in his entire life. But the one thing I do agree with him is he said it kind of feels like human cockfighting. And that's kind of how it, like, looks to me. They're just these two bloody guys in the cages elbowing the hell out of each other. I know that there's rules, but I would be remiss.
Don't hit below the waist.
It's like there's a couple
head.
Things.
Yeah.
I guess you can't just continually pound them out. I don't know. It's just, to me, there seems to be lawless. And, just very brutal. And I don't mind brutality. I mean, I watch boxing, I watch football, I watch hockey, but there just seems to be something about it that just seems to be beneath modern society.
I mean, I think that each one of those persons on that fight should have gotten at least $1 million. I feel if
you're
for on
doing that
for doing that,
I mean, stepping in the ring with Brock Lesnar, you'd have to have two zeros on that for me to get in there.
Two. All right. So you
not
need
that
a couple
anybody want to pay for me to get my. You know,
we probably crushed. Would if you, we were going to say, like, Brock Lesnar kills a person in the ring. We'd be like, yes,
which
I'm
is
in.
What would have happened.
Yes. Oh, I'd probably buy it at that point in time, knowing who's going up in there. But I'm just saying, like,
then it's just a snuff video at that point.
It's going to be something rewatching. Really quick. One of those really fast knockouts that we're going to, like, remember. He's going to be like, 1-2. That's my fastest knockout. What's yours, you know?
Yeah.
Picking pieces of my skull.
Like I said, that would be the lasting image for UFC.
Yeah, exactly.
Blood splattered on the mat right
just
there.
The cameras just.
This week in Noobs, he's not around anymore. He rests in peace. But this spectacle of the two of UFC 200 really just kind of put a bad taste in my mouth after reading about it. Dana White's never been a big fan of him, and this, again, just kind of shows it more so that I think that these guys should be paid a lot more for what they're doing, especially for the amount of revenue they're bringing in. It's almost a joke, I feel.
Well, UFC also sold this weekend for $4 billion.
Yeah.
So
it was bought for $2 million by those brothers. I can't remember. It's Fabricio.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Dana White's brilliant when he came to promoting UFC and getting it where it is today. But I'm just saying, return some of that money back to the guys who actually got you there with some of the fights, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the Foothills, and beyond. You are listening to the show formerly known as Say Hey. I promise we will have a show name next week or soon.
By August.
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
Yeah. The show formerly known as Say Hey is starting to roll off the tongue pretty nicely right now.
It's so lazy and great.
Just because we always want to pay homage to our boy Jake, who's actually in the next room right now. So, Jake, much love to you. Actually, he just poked his head in the door right now.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
We're so imaginative.
What can we say? We're bracing down barriers right now. So again, that show that is formerly known as Say Hey is made possible by those generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Vitamin Fox, providing a large selection of traditional Chinese medical formulas, new transceuticals. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. They put the enunciation after the word, so I just read the enunciation
out.
Yeah,
blame the copy.
Yes, right. The antioxidants and enzymes combined with acupuncture and personalized service. The Vitamin Fox supports community radio and our right to use all natural and effective medicines. Founded in 2006, the Vitamin Fox is located at 1224 Mangrove and is on Facebook and can be reached by calling 345.